This is Brother Matter, and I greet you in the name of Jesus, and I pray everyone's doing well. Now, what I want to talk to you about tonight is, and I'm going to title this, The Apostles' Doctrine. The Lord has been dealing with me, and I taught this in a Bible study last Wednesday night, which I believe was like the 7th of April 2020, and I taught this, and when I taught this, the Lord spoke to me a little bit later on. I think it was Sunday the 12th that the Lord spoke to me, because I ministered on this on the 7th, and then on the 12th, I ministered a word that the spirit of the man Christ Jesus is what we should be looking at as the Holy Ghost and his attributes and his nature. And later on that evening, the Lord spoke to me and said that I've spoken to you for several years now about a new move and a new thing happening by my spirit, according to Isaiah 43, and I think it's 18 and 19, where God said he'd do a new thing. Well, the Lord spoke to me Sunday night, the 12th of April, 2020, and said that the new thing has begun, you've entered into it, and these two words are doctrinal and foundational. So we have our teaching on the Apostles' Doctrine in our conference format, and it's not really the type that I would post on YouTube, because there's too many different interactions and too many different things going on in it. So I wanted to come to you and begin to lay this foundation for what the Lord has put in my spirit is the Apostles' Doctrine. Now, I've heard those words, I guess, probably the majority of my walk with God. But I've been serving God 48 years this year, and I've never heard anybody really get down and teach and lay a foundation for the Apostles' Doctrine. Once you get past Acts 2:38 and 40 and 41 about water baptism and receiving the Holy Ghost, I've never really heard anybody expound anything on the Apostles' Doctrine, and I could be wrong. I don't check a lot of people's teaching and preaching. Don't ask me what somebody believes, if they're a denomination or an organization, because I couldn't tell you, because I don't study it. I study the Word of God. And what is in me, God's give to me. What He's revealed into me is by His Word and by His Spirit, by the unction of the Holy Ghost and the anointing that He's placed in my life. If I preach something, He teaches me. If I hear something that's right, He confirms it to be the truth. So it is the Spirit of truth, or it is the Spirit of the man Christ Jesus, which I say is the Holy Ghost, is the Spirit of truth, is the Spirit of Christ. And the Spirit of truth is a teacher. The Bible said He will lead and guide you, and He will teach you all things. So I'm going to put this word out here. I'm not interested in arguing with you. I'm not going to come back and preach it 100 different times. I will preach it as God instructs me. I'm going to lay the foundation of it. And it's up to you to take hold of it. I'm not trying to convince you of anything or persuade you to believe a certain way. All I'm doing is putting the Word of God out here, and it's up to you to receive it. But I will be doing these doctrinal videos from time to time, because people need to know truth. They need to know a foundation they can build on. The Bible talks about getting rooted and grounded and established in the faith. And as I was in prayer this morning, which this is Tuesday, April what, 14th? Sometimes again, my days run together and I get my dates mixed up. April 14th, 2020. So as I was in prayer this morning, the Lord's been dealing with me about a lot of things. And all during this coronavirus and everything, the word of the Lord came to me on 3/22/2020, and I told people what to do. You can go back and watch that video here on our YouTube channel. But I told people what to do, and I told them we need to start praying for the faith that was once delivered to the saints to be restored. And I talked about that for days on end. Posted it on Facebook and put it on our YouTube channel and put it out in emails that the faith that was once delivered to the saints needed to be restored. Well, early this morning in prayer, the Lord told me that we did not really know what the faith was that was delivered to the saints back on the day of Pentecost, what that doctrine was. He said, you have the premise of it, or you have the outline of it, but you don't have enough information to know what that pure doctrine is. So I believe God now is going to reveal pure doctrine, going to reveal depths of His Word, and is going to get rid of a lot of these doctrines and traditions of man, which I say have polluted the Word of God and took away the purity of it. You're not going to bring people together with a polluted doctrine. Yeah, the doctrine's got to be pure. It's got to be clean. It's got to be God's Word. It's got to be undefiled. And the Word and the Spirit must bear witness. So as I get into this Word, it's up to you whether your spirit bears witness or not. I'm going to stick with the Word, and I'm going to do my best to give you the Word as God has given it to me and bring it forth so that you can understand it and get a foundation under you. Now, like I said, I've heard about the apostles' doctrine all of my, just about all my Christian walk with God. So I was in prayer the other morning, and I got to hearing these words in prayer, the apostles' doctrine. They kept speaking into my spirit. And so when I come out of prayer, I went, looked it up on my Bible program, and I found it here in Acts 2. We'll just look at 41. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And it goes on and says, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. So as I read that, I went all the way back to verse 33 and read all the way through, looking at the scripture in context, and there was nothing there to really tell me what the apostles' doctrine was. So I started praying and reaching out to the Lord. I said, now, I can't teach something, and I can't believe something that I can't teach. So there's got to be scripture. There's got to be a foundation that can be laid that people can understand and they can build on. So the Lord took me back and reminded me that when we founded our church in LJ, which we founded the New Testament church at LJ, and the way that come about is the Lord, we were praying about a name for the church. Of course, we founded the Word of Faith Deliverance Tabernacle in Fort Payne, Alabama in 2000, and God spoke that name into my spirit at that time. But we didn't want to name the church in LJ that, and we had four or five people praying, and my wife come to me one morning. She said, well, how about, you know, when you read the Bible, it talks about the church at Corinth, the church at Galatia, the church at Philippi, the church at Ephesus. How about just calling it the New Testament church or the church at LJ? And so I said, okay, it sounded good, bore witness in my spirit. So I got in prayer, and later that day, the Lord took me out in a vision, and I saw this huge rock. I mean, looked to be about 10 or 12 feet high, probably 8 or 10 feet wide, and right in the middle of it stood a big wooden cross. And engraved in that rock, there was this inscription, and I'm fixing to read to you, and it is found in Ephesians 2 and 20, and it says this, "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." And so that, the Lord brought that back to my spirit, and I said, okay, Jesus Christ has to be the chief cornerstone of the church if the church is going to be built on him. So I went over to the book of 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, and I'm going to begin at the 9th verse, and this is what it says. "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So I said, all right, Lord, now you're putting this in my spirit that Jesus is the foundation. You can't build without a solid foundation. And then the Lord took me, reminded me what it said in Ephesians, which I just read to you, which is Ephesians 2 and 20. And he said that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone of the foundation of the church, but we're built on the word ministered by the apostles and prophets. So if you go to Isaiah 28 in verse 16, and he says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." So I read that, and I began to meditate on that and pray on that. And as I reached out to the Lord, I began to search the scriptures for this chief cornerstone. And from Matthew 21, 42, verse 42, going through verse 44, "And Jesus said unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures that the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parable, they perceived that he spake of them." Because it says right there in that verse 42, Jesus said unto them, "Did ye never read in the scripture, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner?" And so as I was praying and meditating and talking to the Lord, I said, all right, God, now we're getting somewhere. Now I'm understanding that there's more to the apostles' doctrine. There's more to this word that people need to be founded on than just water baptism and just one God. We've got to know the word, and we've got to be able to discern what the word says. And I've said many times, there's a lot of people can quote the word. There's people read the word. They study the word, but so many do not break down what the word says and what it teaches and look up each word and get the understanding of what it means, because every word in a scripture has a meaning. It has a meaning, and you can change one word in a scripture and you can change the meaning of that scripture. So that's why I like to take it word for word. And when I teach, and I'm teaching to a congregation on a regular basis, a lot of times I'll make notes. I'll break down scripture. I'll break down words. I'll hand it out to the people. And I said, now here, I'm not going to preach by these notes, because I got 5 pages of notes laying here just to kind of keep this revelation in order that God put in my spirit. But I can't preach by notes. I may preach everything in the notes, but I'm not going to bring out them in the exact order that I wrote them down. They're just to give me a guideline so I won't forget a scripture. I won't forget to interject. But when I'm preaching, most of the time I don't even look at notes. And I'm trying to slow down and teach, because people need to learn. You need to learn. If you're a believer in the one God, if you say you believe in the apostles' doctrine, then you need to listen to this word. You need to get these notes, and you need to go back and study, because this is the foundation of the apostles' doctrine. It's the foundation. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. So I got in prayer, and I got to reaching, and I asked, I don't know how many people I asked, have you ever heard anybody preach on the apostles' doctrine that goes past water baptism, or talking about one God? And everybody, I asked ministers, and they said no. And I'm not looking for your denomination teaching. I'm looking for the Word of God. I'm not looking for man's interjection. I'm not looking for man's doctrine. I'm looking at what thus saith the Lord. Because, like I said, man has interjected so much in the Word of God till it's polluted. Most of what people believe now is polluted. It's not pure. It's not unadulterated. This Bible's unadulterated. But you hardly find anybody that will stick with this Bible and the unadulterated Word of God, because they want to throw everything else in here that man has taught, and all the isms and schisms and the divisions that man has brought in the Word. If people weren't divided, there wouldn't be all these denominations. They say there's 35 to 40 major denominations in the United States. That means there's 35 or 40 divisions of the Word and how the Word is interpreted, and most of what it's interpreted by is the carnal mind. You cannot take the carnal mind and discern the Word of God. It is spiritually written. It is spiritually discerned. It's got to be spiritually understood and spiritually preached by the unction and the anointing of the Holy Ghost to have the effect it's supposed to have. There's people read this right here as a history book. I knew a man years ago back in the 70s. He read the Bible. He didn't believe in God, but he read the Bible. And when I asked him why, he said, man, that's a fascinating history book. That takes history for several thousand years. And he compared it to other writings, like those of Josephus and different historians. He said it's accurate. He said it is an accurate account of history, but he didn't believe in the God that inspired it. So the Word, without the inspiration of the Holy Ghost or without the Spirit quickening it, is just dead letter. I do not want to minister to you dead letter. I want to minister to you the living Word of God. So as the Lord began to deal with me, he took me to Matthew chapter 16. And that's where I'm going right now, is to Matthew chapter 16. And I believe I'm going to start in verse 13. And I'll probably go through verse 19. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man am. And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, if you go back up to verse 16, and it says, and Simon Peter answered and said unto him, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Lord gave me this back in the 80s on this revelation right here. And what Simon Peter said to him was, thou art the anointed one. And he said, the Son. And the Lord said to me, where you see the word Son, referring to the Son of Man, he said, interject the word flesh. So what Peter said unto him was, thou art the anointed one, the flesh of the living God, or the flesh that the living God lives in and manifests himself through. And Jesus knew that the Father had revealed this mystery to Peter. And that's why he said, flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And he said, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, Peter's name means stone. But Jesus wasn't telling Peter that thou art a stone, and upon you I will build the church. He was saying, Peter, thou art a rock, or you are part of the foundation of the apostle and the prophets, which shall become the chief cornerstone, which shall teaching me, through teaching me, shall become the chief cornerstone. But what Jesus said was, on this rock, on the revelation of this word, of the fullness of God living in man, the fullness of God being made manifest and living in man, I will build, I will establish, I will settle, strengthen, root, and ground, and establish a church that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It cannot prevail against it because the fullness of God will live in man, and this body that I'm bringing forth, this is not going to happen in one man again. This is going to happen in the body of Christ, and it's going to happen all over the world. And we are at that time, we are at the door that God is revealing the revelation of Jesus Christ, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world, reconciling man back to himself. It is in God in Christ, and it is Christ in you. The fullness of God after Jesus' resurrection. The fullness of God dwelt bodily and still dwells bodily in that man Christ Jesus. It still dwells bodily in him. And that spirit
spirit of that man Christ Jesus has been given to us in an earnest, in a measure, which is the Holy Ghost. And we're now getting ready to come forth in the fullness of that Christ, which is the latter rains of the Holy Ghost, are being prepared to be poured out on God's people. And God's not going to do this thing in a corner, but he's going to do this all over the world. And the visitation of God's Spirit and the Christ taking his abode in man is the rock. It's the foundation word that he set upon this rock, upon this foundation. This is the apostles' doctrine that I will build my church on. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It is the foundation. He went on and said, "And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." The kingdom of heaven is Christ in you. Matthew 16 and 17 and 18 is saying the same thing that the word talks about the kingdom of heaven being revealed. And you know, the Lord spoke to me here a couple of years ago. He said, "The word of the Lord to my people now is the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Late yesterday evening, as I was in prayer, the Lord spoke to me. And he said, "You tell people a new move has begun. A new generation is coming in. A new dispensation is being established. And this will bring all things together in one, in Christ." He said, "But you tell them it's already begun." And I'll take you to Ephesians, if I can get there real quick. I'll take you to Ephesians, the first chapter, and I will read to you the 10th verse. Or start with verse 9, Ephesians 1 and 9. "Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times," this is the dispensation that is going to bring in the fullness of times, or the fullness of the years of the word of God. All the word of God that's not been fulfilled will be brought to pass and fulfilled and brought forth in this generation and in this dispensation, because this is the dispensation of the fullness of times or years, that he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So we've established Matthew 16, how that Jesus told Peter, he said, "You're a stone, thou art Peter. But he said, upon this rock," not upon you, Peter, but upon the revelation of the word, which is what Jesus Christ was, the rock, because God lived in him and eventually came to dwell in him in the fullness, and all power in heaven and earth now is in him, and in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It now dwells in him. So that is the revelation that God said, "I will build my church on. And when I build my church on this word, the gates of hell will not prevail against it." It will not prevail against it. There's no way for the gates of hell to prevail against this word, because the fullness of God will be there. The God that created all power, the God that created all principalities, good and evil, whether it be in heaven, in earth, or under the earth, it doesn't matter. They're under subjection to this word and this power and this authority. So he said, "It's on this word that I build my church." So this is the apostle and prophet's doctrine. But you've got to understand that Jesus was a man. He was a man. And I believe he was a man. I don't believe he came down here with all power. I don't believe that he came down here with power over the devil, with power over all enemies. I don't believe that. I believe what the scripture says. When you look at Galatians, the fourth chapter and the fourth verse, it plainly says, but when the fullness of the time was come, or when it came time for God to birth and bring forth his son, when it came that time, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, in Matthew, the first chapter. And if you look at the 18th verse, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused, or she was engaged or promised to Joseph. And back then, when they became espoused, they were as good as married, more or less. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, see, it's already referring to him as her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or privately. He didn't want to embarrass her. He didn't want to cause her any shame, so he was going to just put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. He was a physical body, but by the Spirit of the Lord that was in him, he was God with us. I said he was God with us because he was a man. And I know a lot of people like to put the physical man, Jesus, in the beginning. He was not there. He was not there. You can't put him there because he was conceived in Mary's womb by the Holy Ghost. The Bible said, and when the fullness of the time, or when it reached that place that it was time for God to bring forth his son, he brought forth his son made of a woman, made under the law. Are you listening to me? That's how he brought him forth. And I just read to you in Matthew, the first chapter, where Mary conceived of the Holy Ghost. That word, that seed went into her womb and became flesh. John 1 and 14, and the word was made flesh. It wasn't God, it was made flesh. It was made a seed that conceived in Mary's womb, and she brought forth a flesh and blood and bone child. He grew in her womb 9 months, was delivered, came forth a flesh and blood and bone child, and because that she had conceived miraculously and immaculately by the Holy Ghost, he was the Son of God. He was the Son of God, but he was made in the likeness of sinful flesh, made in the likeness of man, and brought forth to be our example. He came in the flesh for two reasons. One was to be the Lamb of God that would give his body and blood for the forgiveness of all the sin that man had committed under the law. And it had just been rolled forward every year, all those sins, because it was not possible, according to Hebrews, that the blood of bulls and goats could do away with them sins. The ashes of a heifer, the sprinkling of the blood of the heifer and the ashes of bulls and goats, it couldn't do it. Hebrews says it couldn't. So they were rolled forward every year. But when Jesus came, he came the Lamb of God. He came to be offered in body and blood to forgive those sins that were under the law, those sins already committed. But he came a man. And the reason I'm stressing this is because you've got to understand that as a man, he defeated sin. As a man, he conquered and overcame sin. Though he was made in the likeness of flesh, the Bible says in Hebrews that he was tempted in all points, like as we were, but yet without sin. If he did not face that carnal nature, if he did not face and war with the carnal mind just like we do, then he could not be tempted in all points like as we are. He couldn't do it. He was tempted in all points. It wasn't the Spirit of God in him that was tempted. It was the flesh man. It was that part of him that was, it was that flesh that was tempted. The enemy can't tempt God. He can't tempt the Spirit of God in you. It says every man is tempted by his own desires, by his own lust. Well, that spirit warred in Jesus, but he never gave in to it because he submitted himself to the Father to do the Father's will, and he was without sin. He never gave in to sin. And I don't buy these doctrines of peccability and impeccability. I don't believe them. You cannot tell me that Jesus was 100% man and could have sinned, but yet he was 100% God and couldn't have sinned. That don't even wash. It makes no sense. You can't say he was 100% man and could have sinned, but he was 100% God and couldn't have sinned. That's just, that don't even wash. That does not make him our example, because if he was made different than what you are, he could not be your example. But the reason I'm stressing this is because that as a man, God, the Holy Ghost, entered into him and started changing, transforming, illuminating that mind and brought him to the place that God could live in him. God could live in him, children. And we've got to have this doctrine come back and be taught in purity. And I know God's going to reveal more of this. And I'm fixing to bring this to a close because I don't want this to be too long. But God is going to reveal all of this because in Ephesians 4 and 3, Paul wrote here, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Are y'all following me? One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So, the one God, the one faith, the one doctrine, the one baptism, all this has got to come together in unity, and it's got to be declared again. But I am laying the foundation of the apostles' doctrine, which is the fullness of God living in man, is what the church should be teaching, because it is the same revelation as the kingdom of God. You read Colossians 1, and I believe it's 26 and 27, and it talks about the mystery of God, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So Christ in you is the mystery of the kingdom. It's the kingdom of God. And I'm here to tell you, the word of the Lord to this generation is the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is now at the door. We're moving forward in a new dispensation, in a new generation. God has ordered change and things are changing. And this doctrine that I'm teaching will be foundation. It will be doctrine for this new move. It will be doctrine for this new generation, this chosen generation, this royal priesthood that now is coming forth. And as we get into this word, we will continue to have God reveal new doctrine, new teaching, new understanding. And as I close this out, back in August of 2017, it was the 20th, I believe. It was a Sunday. Anyway, it was the day before the eclipse. And I was praying in our church in Elijah, and the Lord took me into a vision. And I saw the sun, and I saw that moon begin to come in and cover that sun. And as it came in and began to darken that sun, the Lord told me, he said, all this old teaching, old doctrine, old traditions, though it was preached in earnest, a lot of it was preached in error, and it's had my people bound. And when that eclipse got full and it started out the other side, and I saw a new light begin to come in on the edge, the Lord said, this is a sign to you that I'm blotting out the old and I'm bringing in new. He said, new doctrine, new teaching, new wisdom, new knowledge and understanding is now going to come to my people. And I can tell you, ever since God spoke that to us, God has revealed his word time after time. He's revealed it in newness. He's revealed it in revelation. He's revealed it through prophecy. And he's spoken to us time after time till the word of God is like it's fresh, it's brand new, it's coming alive. But so many people are going to hold on to the old. So many people are going to, they keep hollering, well, we want God to do a new thing. But it's like my wife says, they want God to do a new thing in a good old-fashioned way, and they don't want to turn loose of anything in the old. But I'm telling you, this is laying the foundation for a new move of God. It's laying the foundation for a new working of his spirit. And whenever God moves on me, I'm going to start putting out these doctrinal videos. So you can title this, The Apostles' Doctrine, The Foundation of the Church. I thank you for listening. I pray this word is identifying in your spirit. I pray that you are hungry for God and you want God to make himself real in you. But if you do, you got a hunger and thirst after righteousness, because what I was raised up in, the Lord told me in December 2018, he said, it's dead. I saw it. It's dead in the, it's dead on the tracks, it's dead in the water. And until we move forward and let God get this old out of us and put this new in us, we're not going anywhere into what God wants to reveal in us. May God bless you, and I pray this word inspires your soul.